Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Senate Finance. It is Tuesday, March 4th. It's about 7 minutes after 9. Today we're going to be taking public testimony on SB 138. Present at the table are Senator Fairclough, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Meyer, and myself, Senator Kelly. I wanted to announce to the committee, too, that if you have amendments on SB 138, if you could get them to the committee chair by Friday, that would be appreciated. And before we go into that, we'll have public testimony, though. So, any questions or comments from the committee? Any directions you would like us to take that you want to talk about right now? Hearing none, we will start with public testimony. Sure. Senator Hoffman?
Just on the amendments, we have some, but drafting is taking time, so we might not get them by Friday. So,
just okay. Well, okay.
They're a little bit slow.
We'll give them a call. So, if we could go online now, we have a number of people signed up to testify, and some are in the committee room with us, and some are online. And before we go to the people in the committee room, I'd like to go online to Mr. Bill Warren, Mr. Bill Warren in Kenai. Mr. Warren, please state your name and affiliation, if any, and take about 3 minutes, if you could.
Yes, good morning, through the chair and to the committee. I'm Bill Warren, a 60-year resident, retired member of Local 367, and worked on the Trans-Canadian Pipeline and Ketchikan to Barrel. And I have big-time reservations on Senate Bill 138 and the HOA of the Five Heads. I realize we're going through a complicated netback, the pre-feed, feed, and then the gates, all which will be a long time out for in-state gas. Maybe 20 years, and there's a real possibility this project will not go. And then on to the HOU, I don't like at all that the AGDC has to face their open season in 2015 with a half a B restriction on them. That should be taken off and let our own AGDC get something going. Now, this leaves us with interim gas. Big problem. That would be from now until those offtake ports 20 years from now. And we have a need for gas right now for our utilities, long-time contracts, Phillips LNG, the Agrium plant, the reopening, westward with a gas line to Donovan Mines and to give Bethel in-state gas. And then I don't like at all being an old pipeliner, this trucking caper LNG to Fairbanks. I'd much prefer AGDC build something like the Sweet 16 Express. That would, I know it's outlandish, but that would be a two-thirds B line from the North Slope to Fairbanks in close proximity to TAPS, where it could heat the gas for throughput and meet in Fairbanks where it could take off from there and supply gas east and west, Parks and Richardson Highway, offtake propane and get to the river people, and also get it down to Kenai, and we could get gas to south or southeast. This is more important than giving gas to overseas export. I know you're looking for a cheap tariff, but you'll be looking for a cheap tariff for 20 years before we can get gas in state, and we need it now. I'm sitting here in Nikiski, and I'm watching the deindustrialization of Alaska. We have lost all our industry except Tesoro, and you guys in Fairbanks have lost Flint Hills, and I know it's environmental cleanup, but also you don't have any gas to heat the product. So I suggest you really follow on the ghosts of ANGDA, which you guys ignored, and now you have AGDC And for God's sake, make AGDC with their solemn promise of getting gas to Alaskans first. And with that, I appreciate your efforts here, and you've got a big, big job. But please do it right for us Alaskans first. And that means not just Anchorage and Kenai. That means throughout all of our great state. We all work together on this. And I thank you for listening, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Warren, thank you for your testimony. You obviously spent some time thinking about this, and it's pretty interesting. I don't agree with everything you said, but you obviously have some insights there that are worth pondering. Thank you. Mr. Pierce in Fairbanks. Merrick, are you there in Fairbanks? How about Jim Plackey in Fairbanks? Are we on in Fairbanks? I'll stand by. You guys might be back at the coffee pot or something. Hey, Carice, if they're in the building there, would you? we don't have any other sites online, so while we're waiting for Merrick and Jim to get to the table there in Fairbanks, we'll go to Juno here. And Barbara, did you want to testify?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm Director of Legislative and Governmental Affairs for Teamsters Local 959, and we would like to go on record supporting this yes for Senate Bill 138. With the caveat, I actually had my boss, Secretary Treasurer Rick Boyle, so unfortunately he is traveling out of state and unavailable. So I called our training trust to find out if we could get some of our apprentices who've been going through their six-week training. Unfortunately, all of them have been sent up to the North Slope as a result of your efforts with Senate Bill 21. So I know that's not before you guys today, but thank you for those efforts. We have a lot of folks that are working. Anyway, for the record, we are supportive of the CS for Senate Bill 138. I think a few of you have probably seen this title, Gas Line Controversy Rages On. And no, it wasn't the picture of Jesse Carr that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. But this is a Teamster newsletter that's dated 1977. So here we are 40-some years later. I was actually working for the city of Anchorage. We were in negotiations with George Sullivan trying to figure out how we keep people working for the city of Anchorage versus going up on the slope, which is going to be one of many. And I know this is the Finance Committee, not the Labor and Commerce Committee, but there are a lot of financial impacts with respect to this project. It's going to be a huge project. Heads of agreement language, the intent language that was picked up and incorporated into the bill, while we recognize it does not have the force of law, we are very comfortable with the fact that it has been at least recognized and reinforces the commitment between the industry as well as the administration as you move forward. I have been sitting in all of these hearings. I think some excellent questions, definitely additional information coming back before you ultimately decide what you're going to do with this project. It is huge. It impacts not only, I mean, all of our, kind of went through this last night and looking at our own employers, whether it's our two water carriers down at the Port of Anchorage, Horizon, as well as Todos Ocean Express, our railroad, our trucking companies. The project moving forward and getting gas to all Alaskans, I think, is huge. Also, employment for Alaskans is huge. And the number of jobs we're looking at, I mean, just our own training efforts with the result of the passage of Senate Bill 21. We cannot keep our training halls with enough new hires coming in. So it's definitely something we're looking at in the future as far as training opportunities for all Alaskans, and hoping that we don't run into the problems that we did having to pull from the lower 48, although we need to look at the number of Alaskans we have, the more that we're going to be able to train and invest in those training dollars will be huge for every single Alaskan, whether you're in a rural or you're in urban communities out there. And with that, I guess I don't have a lot of, from a financial perspective, I think the decision ultimately, what's good for Alaska and good for all of Alaskans from a financial perspective, rests in each and every one of your laps at this point. And I appreciate your effort, the additional information that you continue to review and weigh and balance as you move through this. And if I can answer any questions, I would try to do that.
Thank you, Barbara. Any questions? Hearing none. Appreciate it. I'm going to go back to Fairbanks. Merrick Pierce, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Merrick Pierce. I serve on the board of the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority. I've been on there for about the last 7 years and serve as the CFO for that organization.
Merrick? Can you maybe back away from the microphone just a bit?
How's that?
Go ahead.
Okay, very good. And I'll first start by saying that I've paid a lot of attention to what the markets are asking. And, you know, any kind of gas line project begins and ends with the markets. And, you know, we can look at Russia as a competitor. It's topical. You know, we've got Vladimir Putin, who's a bit of a sociopath, who's invaded the Crimea. And Putin has demonstrated that Russia is not unwilling to use energy as a weapon. You have about 30% of the energy used in Europe that comes from Russia, and Gazprom is not at all casual about turning off the gas pipelines in the middle of the winter to, you know, engage in extortion to get higher prices. And so, of course, the markets look at that, and they're not terribly impressed. And it makes Alaska look pretty good by comparison. You know, we're a stable state. We operate by the rule of law. And of importance, we have proximate access to the markets. But unfortunately, Alaska is not the only potential provider of LNG into the world markets. There's lots and lots of competition. I'm sure you've heard that from your consultants. We're competing with Canada. We're competing to a degree with Russia. We're competing with Australia and Papua New Guinea and the Gulf Coast of the United States, and we're also competing with countries like Qatar. And the markets aren't going to wait for Alaska to get its act together. You know, one of the things that I want to make sure that you pay attention to is the markets under the AGEA process with the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority. They came to Alaska, and they said they wanted about 2.5 billion cubic feet of gas per day. And we made that very public in the solicitation of interest that Exxon was required to hold under AGEA. And the Exxon response was to ignore the markets. That's got to be something you have to pay attention to. If one of the companies that you seek to partner with through this legislation essentially sabotaged a project under AGEA by ignoring what the markets have been asking for, that should be a question that you've spent a lot of time and consideration on. I'm going to throw a few questions at you that if I was on your committee, I'd want to have these questions answered. And the first question, a pretty obvious one, is why would you want to produce your own gas line? You know, if you look at TAPS, and you're all familiar with TAPS and the history of the fraudulent tariffs that Alyeska has employed, and not my opinion, it's been the opinion of courts after weighing all the evidence, the tariffs have been fraudulent, and the tariffs have been fraudulent and high as an effort to keep competition off the North Slope. Why would we want the same companies engaging in the same kind of practices with a gas line? And we've only got three major companies operating on the North Slope, and a country like Norway, where they don't allow producers to, you know, essentially use pipelines as a weapon to keep competition out of their areas of development. You know, Norway has 60 major companies doing projects in Norway. Next question I hope you would pay some attention to is why would you ignore the markets? You know, again, projects begin and end with the markets. I'm a private sector guy. If you ignore your customers, they're going to go away. We've already lost at least one project to the Canadians when Mitsubishi had partnered with us and they wanted to do a project. We couldn't get the producers to commit gas, so they went to Canada. Shame on us that we allowed that to happen. And of concern, when the markets say they want gas in 2019 and the Parnell administration says, well, maybe we'll get a project going in 2022, we're almost guaranteeing that we're going to miss the markets. Another question I hope you pay some attention to is, have you examined other successful projects such as the Rockies Express project? I like this project because it helps illustrate that a project is not that hard to build. The Rockies Express was recently built. It was a pipeline from the Rockies over to the Middle Western United States, Indiana, Ohio, 1,679 miles in length, 42-inch maximum diameter, and could carry about 2 billion cubic feet of gas per day. From first permit filing to completion, that project was built in 3 years, and they did it for only $6 billion. Now, I look at a pipeline in Alaska. My goodness, we only have one state. We don't have to deal with multiple jurisdictions, multiple different sovereign states and different eminent domain actions. We got one state and a state that really wants to see a gas pipeline built. I think we can build a project faster than they did with the Rockies Express. And probably the last question I'll leave you with is, why would we work on a project that has a route such as described by the AGDC project, which is essentially what Exxon has adopted in its public stance? When you talk with Exxon, they'll say, we have no idea how they're going to get a gas pipeline to the Cook Inlet, where you've got endangered beluga whales and whatnot. And, you know, if you really don't want to do a project, you pick a route that isn't going to work. And for those of you senators from Fairbanks, you know how important it is that we have proximate access in this town to a large diameter gas line with cheap gas. You know, the REI analysis found that we could have gas in Fairbanks for about $3.50 per million BTUs. What a difference that would have made for Flint Hills. You know, they have enormous cost of operation at Flint Hills, and you know, I think Flint Hills is run by some pretty sophisticated people. And when they decided to pull out of Fairbanks, that's kind of an indictment on what they think of the prospects of a gas line. We also, of course, want to have gas go to a port that's deep water and ice-free, that you can bring in the large QMAX and QFAX tankers, and you'd have a Coast Guard vessel management tracking system. You can't do that with a Cook Inlet. I'm not trying to knock the Cook Inlet, but you know, the weather is what it is in the Cook Inlet. They've got ice, they've got winds, it's a shallow port. My goodness, why would we ignore all the work that's already been done on the route to Valdez? So, like, I could go on for an hour, but you know, I thank you for your time this morning, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
There was a bit of a problem with your transmission. We could hear you, but it was a pretty much of a struggle. Do you mind writing a letter to the committee? I'd certainly like to be able to examine a little more closely what you said.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be delighted to do that. Thank you.
Just send it to my office. I do have a question here from Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Merrick, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so are you in favor of the CS or in opposition to the CS in front of us?
Senator Fairclough, through the chair, I'm in opposition to the entire bill. I think you really need to address some of the questions that I've put before you and really pay close attention to what the markets are saying and go back and look at what happened through the solicitation of interest that Exxon was required to hold under AGIA and look at all the companies that wanted the gas from Alaska and look at the timeline that the markets wanted the gas. It is so critical we get the market part of this right. If we're looking at a project that doesn't get gas to 2022, we're not going to have a project. And given the deficits that we're running right now, not having a gas pipeline is going to be lethal to our future.
One more question from Senator Fairclough.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pierce, if it was going to Valdez, would it be on the end, would that make it a go? Would you support the project if the destination were Valdez?
Well, as long as we're aligned with the markets, that's most of the battle right there. But it's key that we understand that getting a permit to get a project to the Cook Inlet isn't a slam dunk. You might look at what Yukon Pacific did when they spent quite a bit of time, quite a bit of money on the project that went to Valdez, you know, essentially paralleling the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And they were able to get a presidential finding from President Reagan. They were able to get the final environmental impact statement completed for that project with an export license. So those are pretty good indications that, you know, that's the route to go, because you're not going to get an FEIS completed with a presidential finding and export license unless you've got a very solid project. And I would ask that we not ignore that past work. We do that at our peril.
Thanks for your testimony, Mr. Pierce. Jim Blacking?
Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Jim Plackey. I'm a 40-year member of the Offer Engineers Local 302. I support SB 138, and thank you for all the work you do on it. I worked on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and saw the benefits of economic development of this state and the jobs it created for Alaskans. We Alaskans thought that after construction of the oil pipeline, we'd be put back to work building a gas line. But of course, we know that never happened. Then I worked on the Northwest Gas Project in the early 1980s, and of course, that project never moved forward either. Then, in the year of about 2000, Alaska wanted to move Arctic gas to the lower 48. And we know the story of that because of fracking. Our Arctic gas wasn't economically viable again. So here we are again. Now is the time. Now is the time to build the gas line and bring low-cost energy to the interior. And we all know how desperately Fairbanks in the interior needs low-cost energy. It would also create jobs for Alaskans. I'm a beneficiary of working in the oil industry for over 40 years. And I understand the boom that a gas line would create during construction and all the benefits after construction. So anyway, Mr. Chairman and committee members, please move the gas line forward. The interior desperately needs cheap energy. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. Plackey. We're going to go to the Anchorage LIO and Mr. Rick Rogers.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, co-chairs Kelly Meyer and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rick Rogers. I'm the executive director of the Resource Development Council. Ironically, RDC was initially formed in the 70s under the name of OMAR, and at that time its sole mission was to get a gas pipeline off the North Slope. So I don't know if we're as effective as perhaps we could be, but we continue to support that goal, among other things. We think that the alignment and durability are two words that maybe are a little bit cliche these days in these discussions of resource policy in Alaska, but we think those are critical to this discussion and very essential. The Heads of Alignment Agreement we find very encouraging. We can't understate the importance of getting the producers, the state, and TransCanada all on the same page. And we've seen a lot of false starts with gas pipeline projects, but we have not had this kind of unprecedented alignment. So we see that as very encouraging. As you know, unlike oil, LNG is sold on long-term, multi-decade contracts, and of course that requires durability, including fiscal terms. We think that SB 138 continues to require a lot of work and analysis, and we remain very impressed with the due diligence of your committee, as well as the work that was done in Senate Resources to fully vet this complex undertaking. We need to carefully weigh the risks and the rewards with a realistic eye on the need to compete globally with dozens of other jurisdictions and projects, hoping to secure project backing. We believe that the most beneficial gas line project for Alaskans is a large capacity line that's sanctioned by the producers in partnership with the state. Fundamental project economics, largely out of our control, will dictate whether or not this project ever gets sanctioned and constructed. We must maintain a robust oil industry on the slope for this project to have a chance of succeeding. Of course, oil pays the bills and supports the vast and complex infrastructure on the North Slope needed to produce gas. I remind everyone that ballot measure one passage would signal to the world that we lack the long-term vision needed to monetize our North Slope gas. We encourage continued deliberation and due diligence and passage of enabling legislation this session, recognizing that further legislative gates and off-ramps are proposed under the current structure. In deliberating, I ask that you don't lose sight of the importance of alignment and durability, and that a vibrant oil industry is a key element for success for this project. Thanks for the opportunity to provide input.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. We have kind of been framed with the amount of time people have been testifying. The list of testifiers is growing, so if I could ask your indulgence and possibly keep your testimony to about 4 minutes, I'd appreciate it. Rachel Petro in Anchorage.
Good morning,
Good morning.
Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Petro, and I serve as the president and CEO for the Alaska Chamber. We represent hundreds of businesses, manufacturers, and local chambers across Alaska, and honestly, we simply exist to work toward making Alaska the very best place to do business. So the announcement in mid-January about the heads of agreement between Alaska businesses and the state of Alaska was very welcome news. And like you, the Alaska Chamber is still evaluating the CS for Senate Bill 138, although I will say that none of the changes made in Senate resources cause us concern. The Alaska Chamber does support the principles found in the Heads of Agreement and within SB 138, and principally those being the state participation in an Alaska gas project, the state taking a percentage gas share, and establishing a very clear process to move the project forward. This must include the necessary tools to confidentially develop the various project enabling arrangements and contracts and establish a very clear public process that provides for legislative oversight, review, and approval. The Alaska Chamber believes that the very best way for Alaskans to develop their gas resources is to have the state participate as a business partner in an Alaska gas project. We know that for any business to succeed, Alaska must provide a competitive, predictable, and stable environment in which to do business. And I would just like to ditto the comments of the testifier before me, Mr. Rick Rogers from RDC, regarding the importance of a stable oil business in Alaska to support a gas business. So to progress any Alaska gas project, we believe that the business partners named in the HOA and will need to be able to execute agreements and contracts and know at which points they'll need to come back to the legislature for review and approval. So in summary, the Alaska Chamber does support the above-mentioned principles in order to continue to the positive momentum to advance an Alaska gas project. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today, and thank you for your diligence in moving this legislation forward.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate it. We're going to go now to back to the standby just a moment. We'll take a brief break. Back online. I'm going to stay with the LIOs and off-net sites here. Mr. Hoke in Glen Allen. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jason Hoke. I'm the Executive Director of Copper Valley Development Association. We just became martyrs again. Thank you very much for that. I'm calling again to testify in behalf of a gas pipeline. As you all know, energy is crucial to Alaskans, especially in rural Alaska. I'm staying indifferent on the size of the pipeline or where it's located, unlike many of my fellow residents here in the Copper Valley. I just want to see it get done. And when it gets done, that we keep the gas primarily for Alaskans, help this energy crisis that rural Alaska is facing. Anything left over then can be sold for the state's benefit. But the first, first and foremost, I would like to see this go through for Alaskans throughout the entire state. I am in support of SB 138, and thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hoke. Lynn Willis in Eagle River.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having this public testimony. My concern primarily right now is this cost, and where are we going to get the money to pay for this? This slide by Angela Rodell showing the consumption of our unrestricted revenue to pay for this is daunting, and I would certainly like you to focus on that, and I would also like you to clarify more how, why AGDC cannot be unrestricted from that 500 million cubic foot AGO restriction, and where is the gas that we could use up here for a petrochemical industry. But my chief concern is where are you going to get the money to pay for this? And I proposal to spend the corpus of the permanent fund, I don't know, but it's a big daunting task. So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Mr. Lake Williams, the Fairbanks LRO. Lake Williams. How about Doug Tanzi? Are you there, Doug?
Can you hear us now, Senator?
Yeah, is this Lake or Doug?
This is Lake.
Go right ahead.
Had a difficulty. Thank you, co-chairs, Senator Kelly and Senator Myers. My name is Lake Williams. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm the president of Fairbanks Building and Construction Trades. I also work for Local 302 Operating Engineers. I'm testifying in support of the basic outline of SB 138, although I like to see what the finished product is, but I think the outline is good. I think a large diameter pipeline is what's in the best interest of the state, whether it be to Nikiski or Valdez. I think for the economics and to get that price the lowest for the state citizens is going to happen with a larger diameter pipeline. I like the basic outline of the heads-up agreement. I think industry and the state has made a commitment to local hire and local contractors. I know it's just an outline, but I think it's a good start, and anything we can do to strengthen that in the bill would be welcomed. I think it's good that the state has a seat at the table and is a partner in this. I think the local governments, after hearing some of the testimony and resources, should also be involved. I think there's an issue with taxes, and being a property taxpayer in Fairbanks, I know we're already stretched to the limit of what we pay, and so I would hate to see some of that tax burden shifted further on our shoulders. So I think it's good to have the local and governments involved, and the position that the Senate has taken that it wants to, at least in executive session, be able to see what those negotiations are. And have it. I think it's important to have a seat at the table. Always trust, but verify. And that's my basic testimony. I'll keep it brief, but thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Doug, are you there? Doug Tanzi?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Hey, how's weather in Fairbanks right now?
I love it. It's great.
I love this time of year. Go ahead.
In the daytime.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I just wanted to express my appreciation for trying to solve a problem for the energy issues we have here across the state with the realization that solving some of our energy problems will be a huge boost to our economy and to the local citizens all around the state. I also wanted to express my support for the use of Alaskan contractors and Alaskan workforce on a project like this. We have many qualified, skilled contractors that are Alaskan-based, not just based, but that are owned and operated here in Alaska. And I would love to see an emphasis placed on their use in the type of construction. These Alaska contractors have access to equally skilled, trained, and qualified Alaska workforce who will earn and in turn spend their paychecks in local communities, which will be another boost to our economy all around the state. So again, thank you for what you've got going so far, and please place an emphasis on the Alaskan workers and the Alaskan contractors. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. Come back here to the LIO, or excuse me, to the Capitol building, and Lisa Wessler, how you doing? Come on up.
Thank you. My name's Lisa Wessler from Juneau, and I'm here on my own. I'm presenting comments to you based on my experience as a state oil and gas attorney with experience on gas pipeline. One of the first things that struck me about SB 138 is it sets up a rather unusual situation where the administration basically is going to decide and the legislature will then ratify after those decisions are made. One of the big decisions that's already been made by the administration that you're sort of being asked to ratify at this juncture is that state ownership in the gas pipeline. And that is a very major public policy decision. It's got lots of risks and benefits, as I know you've heard. And it really warrants a more of a public discussion, especially a lot of the past studies have all concluded that the risks outweigh the benefits, and something happened this fall with the Black and Veatch study where the administration decided to switch that the benefits outweigh the risks. And it seems that it would be good to make a have a more robust discussion on that, since that decision for state ownership is what is the basis for all the other decisions you're having to make in regard to like the HOA and the MOU. And we should also discuss whether there's other viable financial or regulatory alternatives or options that might have similar benefits but with fewer risks to the state. But then if equity participation is in fact the best thing for the state to do, we should then set into law any of the conditions or principles that will guide the state's equity participation. And this is important because, you know, once we enter a commercial agreement, we essentially are losing our role as a sovereign. So to have the rules up front, essentially booking the process here with the legislature making decisions up front, and then at the end, you know, whether with various agreements, contracts, or approval of those sort of agreements. So it would be similar to the Stranded Gas Act. You'd have the Alaska LNG Project Act, and I have submitted written testimony with a list of provisions that you might include in such an act. I think that this is a more appropriate way to go about this business. This is a huge project for the state. I think that it would strengthen the state's hand if there were these sorts of provisions in law. When they go into negotiations, the sovereign sort of stays in the room with them because we have these rules and statutes on the books already, and it will also help protect the state as we move forward with the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lisa, you referred to past studies. Can you speak to those? What studies are out there, and who did those studies, and when were those studies done, and under what criteria did they reach that analysis?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Fairclough. There's 1979, there was a study. Arlen Tusing, I believe, was the name. And
I'm sorry.
Arlen. I think it's T-U-S-S-I-N-G. And so it started in 1979. There was another one. Well, in 2001, there was the highway, Alaska Gas Pipeline Highway Council or something, where there was a very large task force convened by then-Governor Knowles, and they looked into the ownership issues. In 2002, there was the CHM 2 Thank you. State participation study, which I noticed was posted online yesterday and the documents for the committee. I think there was possibly one other that I'm not remembering right now.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. Mr. Etheridge, Don, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Don Etheridge. I'm here on behalf of the Alaska State AFL-CIO and the Building Trades for Alaska. And we'd like to express our support for the SB 138, the Resources Committee. We thought it was very important that they encompass the heads-up agreement in the intent language, and we were real happy to see that, and we're fully supportive of it that way. As far as for the finances, I don't envy you guys at all at trying to count the beans to figure out whether or not it's doable financially or not. And if we go ahead with this project, I think that times might get a little lean there while we're waiting for gas to move. So I think it's very important that we make sure that Alaskans have the jobs, and the Alaska companies are number one in line for getting the income off of the construction and all the prep work that goes into this. There's been talk about how we messed up on the first gas line and we weren't ready for it. Well, we're getting ready for it this time. We're training people. We're going to have Alaskans ready to go to work. We work on that every day of the year. We train people. And we're going to continue to train them. And hopefully that we get to put them on to work on a gas line. And hope that we get gas to Alaskans that are looking for it. There was a company that was trying to get gas shipped in and do gas lines to the burner tip, as Senator Hoffman talked about here years ago. They just couldn't get enough finances lined up to do it. But I think companies like that would be able to really make it beneficial for Alaskans to get that gas. And they have Alaskan companies and Alaskans ready to go to work doing that, getting it out there. So, and like I say, we are supportive of the CS as it comes out of Resources, and thank you guys for your attention to it.
Appreciate your testimony, Don. Any questions? Let's go to Paul Grassi.
Good. Mr. Chairman and committee, for the record, I'm Paul Grassi, and I don't want to just repeat everything that Don said. I just want to go on record that I represent the Alaska Pipe Trades and the Iron Workers of Alaska, and we do support this bill in as much as we support the building of a pipeline for jobs, for revenue to the state, and for gas to Alaska, and not only for Alaskans, gas for Alaskans, but for future development. So with that, I would just say that we do support that. We want to see the Alaskans get the jobs on the pipeline and make sure that revenue comes to the state and gas to Alaskans. So I would just say it's a complicated bill. I don't envy your job. As Don said, I don't envy your job for doing that. But it's important that you you get the bill right as far as allowing Alaskans to work on the project and future jobs, and also for revenue and gas for Alaska. With that, I will just conclude my testimony.
Thanks, Paul. Back, staying here in the Capitol, we've got Julie Duquette from Fairbanks. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Chairman, Senator Myers, and the rest of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. Associated Builders and Contractors represents hundreds of Alaskan contractors and thousands of workers across the state. ABC is extremely supportive of the governor's gas bill. Alaskans need gas, specifically in Fairbanks and the interior. Our economy depends on gas for our future, our children and grandchildren. ABC is currently training over 200 apprentices across the state, training the future workforce for all Alaskans, and we support local hire. We ask that you move Senate Bill 138 forward, and we thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Chuck Weyers. Hello and welcome to Juneau.
Thank you. My name is Chuck Wagers. I work with A&A Roofing in Fairbanks, Alaska. We're a member of Associated Builders and Contractors that Julie just referenced. I'm supportive of the governor's bill and his efforts to bring gas forward to market. It's been a long time coming. I know it's a difficult lift, and I appreciate the work that he has done and the work that you guys are continuing to do to bring the gas to the project to fruition. It is especially important. I'm from Fairbanks. Our company was founded in 1965, so we've been there for all the discussions about all the gas pipelines. We realize how important gas is for the state, but the interior in particular. So again, I just want to express my support of this bill, and I want to express my thanks to you guys for working so hard on it, because I know how important it is for the future of the state.
Thank you, Chuck. I think that's it. All the LIOs and offline are satisfied, and any other testimony in the committee room? With that, we'll close public testimony. It's 10 o'clock and we've got session coming up. Not today. Oh, Susan, that's right. Yeah. Let me take a brief of these. We're back on the record. Just quick announcement too, as I said before, that if you have amendments to the bill, please get them to us by Friday. Senator Hoffman brings up that we may have a bit of a drafting problem. We'll try to get with drafters and make sure they can put this as a priority.
It's your amendments.
We are adjourned. Okay.